Oh, what's up, folks? It's another edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk, sponsored by David Locke. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've got to say those words. It's been a few weeks, but we are here. We're in the studio, on the phone with us. He's from parts unknown, from Death Valley, the American badass, the phenom, Jared Barker. What's up, man?
Cheers.
Whoa, you got so loud there. Did you say cheers and jeers?
Yeah.
Cheers.
I love how you said from places unknown, and then we Death go ahead and Valley. Give his exact location. You know where to find him.
Yes. And then the voice you heard over there, he's the man of 10 million hits. He's the final boss. The electric one. Please welcome Alma, Mr. Bean. Alma Bean 23, what's up, man?
Nothing much, you know, just trying to cruise on through.
You know? And I'm, the voice is hi, I'm here, the voice you hear. You can follow me on the Twitterverse at Who Trans Superman, that's HUUTRN Superman. Follow the podcast account at Jazz High Notes number 2. Got a few new followers from the April Fool's joke because Logan retweeted the tweet about us being bought up by David Locke. People caught on. So, you know, one of those semi funny jokes that were out there on the April Fool's Day.
Caitlin got me good.
She got me good on
April Fool's. I thought that Ryan Smith actually reached out to her, and I was like, she just had her interview. That's perfect. Alma, great. I was so excited for her.
Gullible on the forehead there, Alma. I'm not a huge April Fool's fan.
I'm not either, because I'm like, that was a genuine thing. I was so excited for her. And then she was like, oh, my first day's April 31st. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's, look, hey, you know, with the advent of the internet, like, and it's funny because I used to work with this lady, and I would prank her all the time. Just because, like, she's about, you know, 15 years older than me, so, I was, like, late 20s at this point. Yeah, just small little pranks, nothing like Jim and Dwight crazy or anything. But she was like,
"Yeah,
she." But just small little pranks. Plus, I'm a little, like, sarcastic, so you know she would believe more stuff that I would say. She was like, "Oh, you must love April Fool's Day." And I actually hate it because, you know, as someone who pranks a lot, you know, this gives an excuse for everybody who's not funny for a chance to prank. And it's like a bunch of posers trying to, you know, get somebody April Fool's Day. So I guess that was a pretty good one. The other one I saw that kind of got jazz fans was Laird tweeting out something like, hey, I'm 30% off tickets, season tickets, whatever. Mm-hmm.
He immediately was like, I'm just kidding, people, do not do this. Yeah.
People just wanted to believe, I guess. And so, I guess one of the better ones was like from Utah State. They debuts like cow helmets, and people are like, "Well, this is actually looking pretty badass." This should not be a joke. So
it's a Bryson Barnes alternative.
Yeah. So Diana Sabo should get on the cow farmer. So.
See, I remember one year I got my mom pretty good on April Fool's Day. I went ahead and I was like acting like I was like sick or whatever, just things were really bad. We were out of school, my brother and I. So we called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I'm not really feeling that good. I've been throwing up a lot, and Zane tried to take care of me, and he hit his head. He's bleeding everywhere, and my mom's panicking on the phone, and she dashed out of work. And the next thing you know, you just hear my brother cracking up in the background, and she was like, you motherfuckers.
Yep, she lost her job. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. Lost her job, whoa, lost the mortgage. Whoa, whoa. And,
you got your mom to clock out of work? Early?
Yep. Oh, shit. She was not very happy. Yep. She walked right back in. She's like, my kids played a prank. Yep. And they're like, oh, that's kind of funny. But...
Alma was 22 at that point, so.
22.
I think I was like middle school age, if I'm not mistaken.
You're 22 in middle school?
Wow. Yeah. I've come a long way.
Slow learner.
That's why I still rep 26.
Middle school. Yeah, you still rep 26. So we got some April Fools out there. For those who I wonder if people are like, oh, you sold out. I'm like, if David Locke came here, folks, if David Locke came knocking and offered me money for this podcast, you're damn right I would sell out. I would definitely sell this podcast. He's like, we can't have any more Locked On Jazz competition. We are giving you X amount of money. That X amount of money, it might only be like $20. I'm like, yeah, done. So
this podcast will become the Locked On whatever new sports team comes to town
exactly.
first.
Exactly. So Locked On.
Did you say $20? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, hey, but as of now, we are still part of the Believe Network, and we still have our 20-cent sponsorships. Speaking of which, it's down to the last four teams. Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long, and now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here, and NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, Bet Online is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Ask Alma. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated on all the action, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Or the game starts here. The game, Bet Line, the game starts here. Edit that together.
They changed their tagline.
I mean, like, it's muscle memory for me to say where the game starts. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's not what it reads there. Hold on one second. 25 cents in my account. Done. Okay.
You put a down payment on a pack of gum?
Right, yeah. So use that 25 cents to put on parlays. Alma could turn that into that 25 cents into like $500. He's on a hot streak.
I am. I'm loving it. I like betting house money.
House money.
McDonald's money.
Because I mean, shoot, I've had one hit for a $50 win, $40 win, $250 win, and that's all been in the last like week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did some betting on while I was in Vegas. The Wolves decided to fuck me over. Thank you, Timberwolves. I should have known better. But betting against the Jazz, just such a they were a minus 900 bet, like the Kings versus the Jazz. What that means is I have to bet every $10 I bet, I had a chance to win $1. So I bet $10 and I could win. I would win back $11. So a $1 profit. But you know what? It was a free dollar, so I was able to bet a few of those. Plus, you know, I put them in a parlay and stuff. But yeah, the Jazz just right now. Look, they're losers of like their last like 30 of the last 800 games, or like 800 of the last 900. They feel like they lost a lot of games. Whatever the math is.
Yeah. I was gonna say I think it was Jazz uniform tracker that went ahead and made it known that it's been 14 straight losses in their white uniforms, and their next two games are in white uniforms. So the trend should continue.
They're really pushing it. Tonight, we ran a story that the Nets won a game, so now like they're putting distance between that pick for the Jazz. The Jazz are firmly in a top eight pick for this draft, so
we'll see if the lottery fucks them over and then makes it like a 11th pick, and then it goes to OKC a bad record.
That's what Logan had said, something like he tweeted out something he's like, in an unprecedented, you know, two teams jump the Jazz or three teams jump the Jazz.
Like, that would be awful. Like, could you imagine how much Jazz Twitter would riot?
Team Convey, but Team Convey would win. Team Convey would be fine. Team Convey would be
okay with like the amount of losses that have come through in this process? What, I think it was like 3-19 or 3-20.
I don't know. Tell me your Team Convey. You tell me. Like, if all of a sudden, like, somehow you're like, okay, we have the eighth pick.
Convinced myself to like some of these draft prospects. Now I'm just committed. Yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I've accepted it.
I said that was going to happen at the beginning of the year. Like, I'm like, hey, you know, like we talk about the draft being crap every year, and then, you know, we talk ourselves into it, and that's fine. The draft might still be bad. Like, I'm not advocating that the draft is any better than it was months ago. What I am advocating is that, you know, hey, look, you know, this is the plan, and it seems like the plan. The Jazz at the trade deadline said, okay, cool, this is what we're doing. We had a fun little bit, and they did a hard tank, and I kind of wish we had seen this last year. But
yeah, the guy who sits next to me in the Delta Center, his name's Joe. He leaned over to me yesterday and he was like, damn, Wemby's so good. I wish we would have tanked harder last year, because we watched the plays where just Wemby and Jokic were going at it like 3-4 straight possessions. And we were just like, damn.
Yeah.
That would have been so nice.
A 14% chance is better than the, what, 6% chance the Jazz had? So
something.
That's what frustrated me last year is that, look, I understand it's a 14% chance. I understand that, you know, still likely the Jazz would not have gotten Wembanyama if they were the worst team in the NBA.
Would have got Scoot.
But to me, it's like, it feels like the Jazz didn't try last year, or they didn't try hard enough, or whatever reason.
Or they made
the
decision too late.
Yeah, and there's a lot of frustration this year. The Jazz, like Jazz fans, are feeling like what's going on? Like, why are we doing this 2 years in a row? Why did you make the decision? Why, if this was the plan all along, why do it the trade deadline again? And this year, I don't mind as much, just because like again, there's no Victor Wembanyama, right? There's no Wemby.
Yeah, no. Your best draft prospect is arguably going to be a decent role player.
Like what they did last year, I don't think should apply to this year. There's this different draft class, a couple different factors, but I'm still very okay with how the Jazz are finishing this season. But it is causing Jared, what was the last Jazz game that you watched, Jared?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Mine was not the Rockets.
I think it's probably the one I went to, which was like the Spurs, but not the recent Spurs game.
Monday night they played against
Tuesday?
They didn't play Monday? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. So I thought they had played Monday against the Cavaliers. Okay, that's why I was there. Yeah.
No, they played the Cavs Tuesday.
And
yeah.
They had the Iowa UConn game. So I have a bowling league on Monday. I was tired of being a wannabe league bowler, so I wanted to be a league bowler. They had Iowa on instead, or what I thought was instead. I was like, oh, cool. Keep it on Iowa. We don't need to watch the Jazz game, everybody. Keep it on Iowa. We'd rather watch this. So, but if there was a Jazz game on at the same time, I would have rather watched, you know, women's college basketball. So,
I mean, there were some bright points from that game. Like, again, I fully said this year, mm-hmm. development, all about development of the rookies, and now you're getting to see it. Mm-hmm. Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendricks tied their career highs in points in back-to-back games. Bryce Sensabaugh getting 22 points in each of those games, and then Taylor Hendricks getting 18 points in both of those games. But Sensabaugh is looking really nice on offense, but still concerned about his defense. It just looks like he's a cone.
Yeah, well, yeah. They were cones! They couldn't guess your part. They couldn't guess the party. They weren't. They were cones! So Alma, do you think you're like the exception to the rule, or do you think that a lot more people are still watching?
I don't think anyone's watching. The only people who are watching are there to complain.
Yeah, and you know,
that's my personal opinion. Yes, there's other people that will go to games just for the social aspect of things. They're not there rooting for the team to win.
Yeah,
they're there for the social.
Yeah, the games are
go with people.
The games are still quote unquote sold out. Like you can go to the stadium and it looks at least 90% full.
That Cavaliers game was.
Yeah,
sold out.
I know.
It was shoulder to shoulder in that place.
I know for the Spurs game last week.
There was a really good turnout for that one as well.
There was a really good turnout, but also, like, I know my company offered, like, hey, by the way, we have, like, we have tickets. If you want some, can we get some? I couldn't go, so I was like, yeah, I didn't ask for tickets. But, like, we could have got 4 tickets, and I want, like, you know, our company's a couple hundred, like, our company might have had, like, 1,000 tickets to give away. I know my buddy got a free Toyota Club ticket, so he was like, you get a free the Stabler from Stabler and Friends. Hmm. He was able to get to the Toyota Club, so free beer and stuff, and he went, and so I was like, we're still, the Jazz are still full. The Dulles Center is still full. But now I'm like, is it like a real, you know, ticket sold full? I don't know if it matters. I'm just saying.
I mean, from what I've seen the last, like, what, 3-4 home games? Mm-hmm. They've been pretty packed, and again, like a majority of these seats that I'm seeing, it's like they're inviting more junior Jazz teams to come, which, and I mean, especially for those young kids, like this might be their one Jazz game of the year, so and absolutely those seats are going to be
full. I'm not even like really mad about it. Like, hey, you know, you want to keep the, you know, I don't care if you're getting ready for free tickets, keep it full. There's you know,
some sort of motivation.
Yeah, it's a good crowd to have.
It's just the only problem is that even though the arena is full, the crowd is dead.
Yep.
Like they're in it for maybe the first 6 minutes, and then the opposing team figures out Utah's entire scheme, try and force either Colin Sexton to do something or Bryce Sensabaugh to go ahead and surprise everyone. And again, like, everybody's just out of it. And I even had Corey ask me about it one game. He was like, man, I'm looking around and the crowd looks dead. Is that nope. true? And I was like, yeah, 100%.
And Laird has even, like, seen, like, you know, the attitudes of the body language of the players. Andy Larson tweeted out something a week or two ago about, hey, look, I was in the locker room and the mood has shifted. The losses are not affecting the players right now. Like, they're going out there, and look, we're all in vacation mode. That, you know, we're all,
yeah, they're going out there getting their paycheck.
They're, you know, put the picture of them, you know, in the fishing hats and on the boat. They're gone fishing.
See you in Cancun.
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3 Cancun. So, and then, you know, like, look, I know there's like 10 more games left and whatever.
A very long.
Yeah.
8 games left.
So, like, I guess it's sad, but, you know, Jared's life has not been affected by not watching games. Maybe Logan's game, you know, Logan's not being affected watching games. I haven't seen the game in a while, but, you know, watching the games haven't affected me almost all season long. So I'm not a good example of that. But I'm seeing people, you know, really big Jazz fans that, you know, they just haven't tweeted about the Jazz, talked about the Jazz, their mood, you know, unless they're Gitson, who still gets mad about every game. I'm seeing the apathy's out there. Mm-hmm. And so much so, like, Logan was like, fuck it, I'm not even coming on the pod tonight, and just hung up. didn't even answer the card, decline. He's going to watch TV, he's going to drive the bus instead. And instead of doing the podcast, and that's fair. Like, I think it's fair. Like, Jared, how do you feel about, you know, like, this is sort of a new, like, 2 years in a row now. You know, you're in the apathy right now. How do you feel? Like, you know, this is sort of like fair weather fan stuff, right? So,
I haven't cared less about a Jazz team in, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. No, I actually went to some of those games. You know, I was still hungry for it back then. Yeah.
So like, yeah.
Now, like, I got better things to do with my time.
Well, so what do you got? What are your, like, thoughts about, like, you know, just seeing? Because obviously, again, we're talking about, you know, the stadium still being full, but these are not people who are paying tickets. These are people just coming. It's the Stars game with a higher capacity. What do you think? Like, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, fans should be able to fan they want, but this is sort of fair. This is sort of like, do you stick by, you know, this is not the definition of sticking by your team, through the bad stuff.
Well, I know, but, and I'm typically a more loyal fan than this. So, you know, I'm almost like disappointed in myself, but at the same time, it's like, this is the product I'm being offered. And, I looked into getting season tickets like last month or whatever, and they want like $60. It's almost like it came out to almost like $60 a game.
I started laughing. I was like, no way for this product. Alma had to double his OnlyFans subscriptions to pay for the tickets. So.
Yep, I had to actually start painting my toes.
So I don't know. Look, you're still going. I mean, you're a season ticket holder. You've been one for a while now. You've re-upped for next season. So your loyalty is not being questioned here. But like, how do you feel? Like, you've talked about the change, the tone, everything's changed, the apathy. I mean, you're still going to games because, like, you've got a duty. But how are you doing it? How are you staying loyal to this team and loyal to being a fan?
So again, like, I'm trying to focus on not wins and losses, because at this point it's more about, like, hey, let's go ahead and start prepping for the off season. I'm actually starting to look at, like, some free agency boards, draft prospect boards, because I'm looking forward to the future. Because if I focus too hard on now, I will just destroy my mental health, because this team is doing nothing for me. But again, watching this development, and Bryce Sensabaugh, he has that killer fadeaway mid-range shot, and it's beautiful. Taylor Hendricks is finally getting comfortable at the NBA three-point line. Really wish that Walker Kessler would go ahead and step up at this time, but he had a nasal fracture in the process while he was actually starting to look good. When they went ahead and started their offense on Tuesday, the first six of their 9 points were through Walker Kessler. He scored four times, and he got an assist in the process. So, like, trying to focus on those small wins is great. And honestly, if it wasn't for Walker Kessler getting hurt, Talen Horton Tucker wouldn't have seen the court. Like, you should have seen that. Ooh. He was running a 9-man rotation with 10 players available, and THT was the only person that wasn't getting minutes until Walker Kessler was announced that he wasn't returning.
Will Hardy's still trying to get wins somehow. Once you put THT in, that's when that spread really, really raises.
So. But, like, it's just crazy to think that, like, Colin Sexton really wants to win, and I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But it's to the point to where he is hurting the team so badly. Because on Tuesday, do you know how many turnovers that man had?
It's a revenge game.
Seven. He had 7 turnovers by himself. The Jazz had 26 turnovers, if I remember correctly. That's ridiculous. You're telling me that a quarter of your turnovers came from one person?
Revenge game. This is a revenge game. I'm trying to show the Cavs what happened. They shouldn't have traded
what they're missing out on?
Yeah, so.
But, like, it's just, I'm trying to find the small thing. So, especially focusing in on Sensabaugh and Hendricks now finally getting comfortable at the NBA level. Even though most of the teams that they're going to be facing, all of them still have something to play for. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go ahead and see these teams bring out their full rosters, which I am excited for the rookies' development.
Yeah.
Keontae, I need him to get out of whatever funk he's in. I mean, shoot, he had 9 points on Tuesday, and he looked like he was throwing temper tantrums. There were plays where he would sit in the corner and essentially just cross his arms. Mm-hmm. Because no one was calling his number, but everyone else was in rotation. He just pulled himself out of the play, unless that was just a very strange game plan where Keontae throws a fit in the corner. So I need him to go ahead and get out of whatever funk he's in, because he was on the up. But now all of a sudden they're like, hey, you are going to be our main facilitator. We need to depend on you. And he's like, I don't know about that.
I saw Little Big League Little Giants. Both those had some great trick plays. That would be a great trick play to have.
It would.
Yeah. Keontae George throwing a tantrum and all of a sudden, like, just hitting a three or something.
But so. Cleveland just consistently went ahead and did a switch to where Colin Sexton was defending Jared Allen, and Jared Allen was like, child's play. Got it.
So, Jared, I mean, like, so you've heard, like, so Alma's still watching, but and watching for. Obviously not wins, you know, but like
only,
you know,
development.
And this is something that Logan says he refuses to watch. Just for him, it's just so hard to watch and, like, you know, watch them just lose consistently. And the development's not enough for him. So Jared, like, so obviously you're not watching because, like, you're not watching for development either. What do you say to the fans who've just kind of given up on the team and are like, yeah, we're done. Because, like, this is, again, this rebuild is, I don't even know if it's anywhere close to being started yet, really. This might be another 2, 3, 4 years of this for the Jazz. What do you say about the Jazz? Like, there's a chance that you might not come back to the Jazz for a while.
Yeah, see you in 4 years.
Okay. I mean,
4, damn.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know when the rebuild's going to be, you know? So it could be 4 years. Yeah,
like, I was going to say, if this rebuild takes longer than the 2027 season, I will be very surprised.
Well, I got myself a weighted blanket, so I can be weighted down by something else besides the weight of the Jazz losses.
I say 4 years because, like, I was like, you know, we're talking about Keontae, we're talking about all the rookies and the development stuff, and, you know, it's one of those, again, until the Jazz actually have a number one, I can't say the Jazz have started the rebuild yet. I don't see it with anyone on the Jazz roster, anybody in the upcoming draft. So I'm like, okay, well, then it's at least 2024, 2025. You know, let's try again in the 2025 draft. and then see what happens after that. So, and then once they get a number one, which might take a year or two to kind of like really be like, okay, this is number one, 26, 26. That's, I just picked a random year. So,
Well, this is also not a free agent destination. So I'm just talking about being interested in the who the Jazz are going to sign. And I'm like, I mean,
well, I'm not saying they're going to go out and get a guy like James Harden or anything like that. I'm talking about like the mid-level exceptions and like the minimum contracts that they'll find. Because I mean, you have to go ahead and think the Jazz are going to be losing Chris Dunn. Yep. They're going to be losing Luka Samanich. They're going to go ahead and lose, I think, Omer Yurtsrevin. I'm not 100%
I think the
sure.
Jazz should sign those guys for four-year $20 million deals. Let's just do Absolutely. It. Let's keep them around.
But like, you got to go ahead and think about like what other guys do you think need a revival in their career to where they can get playing time that's going to be meaningful to get them to the next place. That's essentially what the free agency signings are going to go ahead and be.
Hooray, more Richard Jeffersons. Hooray.
Pretty much.
Jeff Greens. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just need to find those guys. Like, even like a Ersan Ilyasova. Like, he went ahead and popped off for the handful of games he played for Utah and then went to the Bucks. Like, go ahead and find those guys that are willing to go ahead and take a pay cut so they can get the playing time and move on to the next space, and then that can go ahead and propel you a little bit further.
Yeah,
I could have sworn Ersan used to play for the Bucks, and now he's playing there again.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, he went back to the Bucks afterwards, if I'm not mistaken.
He's gonna look that up. So we're talking about just like the apathy, of being a Jazz fan right now, and you know, like Jared, you feel okay with it. Like, you know, you talked about how like you used to be more loyal, and you said that was like moral conviction, like, oh, like being loyal is a good thing.
And he has not played in the NBA and since he was here.
So Jared, like we're talking about like the apathy, and you know, I think you're still a Jazz fan, right? Because I'm, you're still here, you know, 11 p.m. on a Wednesday. Alma, obviously, still. And I still consider myself a Jazz fan, even though, I don't watch a lot of games. I wasn't watching a whole lot of games that were on my days off this season, last season, the season before that. There's going to be this, like, talk about, you know, sticking with your team, through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times. This is the whole fair weather argument again, Jared. How do you feel about it? Because obviously the Jazz are not putting out a product that is enjoyable for you to watch. How do you feel about you are obviously, this might, you know, I'm not calling you that, but you know, some people would say this is like fair weather fandom, like, you know, hey, you know, support your team no matter what, but you're like, yeah, they're not giving me anything to support.
I mean, I don't know. I have, maybe I'm just at a point in my life where sports fandom is just kind of, you know, all my teams have disappointed me a lot over the last few years. So I'm kind of, I don't know. My sports fandom feels like it's taking a back seat to the rest of my life.
Okay, Alma, like, so same question to you here. Like, you know, like, again, people are like, oh, you're a fair weather fan. You're only here for the good times. You're not supporting the team through the bad times. And we're getting to the point, I'm seeing a lot of Jazz, again, if you're not watching, like, what do we consider supporting the team? Because a lot of fans have stopped watching the team this year. Next year, if the Jazz go through another tough year like this, you're going to see a lot of people only go when they have free tickets or only go for the social aspect. The TV ratings are not going to be, you know, they're not good anyway, but like the TV ratings are going to drop, you know, merchandise, like all this stuff is going to, there will still be Jazz fans, but you're not going to watch games because you're going because, like, I want to see them win. You know, it's going to be like this. Like, what if we get another year of this? How do you feel about those, you know, quote unquote, fair weather fans?
I think those fans are going to be in for a rude awakening next season. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jazz Twitter was fairly quiet next season. And then you see them probably pick back up around March.
Mm-hmm.
when, you know, the Jazz have 3-4 picks in the first round for the 2025 draft. And they're like, oh, there's all these promising players. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to help this team start winning. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. I'm going to try my best to stick it out and see what happens. Right. But if the Jazz are going to continue playing like this next season, shoot, they might be giving Detroit a run for their money for that longest losing streak.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, I think you're right. Right now, if we're deciding today what the Jazz are going to do next year, like, it looks like it's going to be a lot more of this, right? And with no different, like, real difference maker, like, some solid players, but no real difference makers in the draft. There's not going to be that, like, you know, Anthony Edwards type star, Ja Morant type star, Chet Holmgren type star in this draft.
We're getting a Michael Carter Williams type star in this
yes,
draft.
Yes,
that's how and, I
yeah,
see
that's
it.
The Trey Burke. That's the Trey Burke year. Okay, so yeah, so another year of just fans kind of being apathetic, but again, like, the Jazz have put together almost sold out crowds this whole year, so the crowds will still be there, but, you know, it'll be the sort of the fake crowds, like, not the real Jazz diehard fans. I don't know because Jared talks about during the dark years, when the Ty Corbin years, like, hey, you can find a Jazz game ticket for $10-15.
Those same seats are $50-60.
Yeah, like, and that's
for
the thing.
A worse team.
That's the thing, is that now we're still not finding, like, super cheap tickets, unless you know somebody, unless there's a giveaway, unless you work for somebody that has tickets, unless you know somebody. So
probably for like $13 plus fees. So like
$50-60.
No, for two tickets though. So. Hmm.
Yep. And those are probably for the same seats that I'm paying $60 a game for.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah,
now.
So somebody's taking a steep loss. Like, I don't know.
Right. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these games go next year. I'm not saying that Jared's not a loyal fan. I'm not saying that I'm not a loyal fan. And
well, it's really hard at these times. Right. I mean, like, you have to look at where the fandom has been mm-hmm. throughout history. The Jazz, I mean, not to be rude, but Jazz fans have been spoiled outside of them not having a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have, what, I think it's top five all-time winningest programs or organizations in NBA history.
To their detriment, really.
So, like, the Jazz have always had a team that has been playing for something, has always been playing for playoff contention. Yeah, you have your in-between years, but if you look at it as a whole,
right,
this is unfamiliar territory for Jazz fans, and a lot of people don't know how to take it.
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to go ahead and see people crumble from it, but you want to go ahead and see if these fans can take it. And that's almost kind of the similar thing that Danny Ainge did with Boston.
Right.
They're used to winning. They have the championships to show for it. Danny Ainge comes around, and they have a 20-win season.
And part of the reason that Jazz fans are pride themselves on this team is, like, at least they always go out and put their best foot forward. You know, we're taught at a young age, and school-age children, like, hey, just go out there and do your best, and that's good enough. And for a long time, the Jazz were doing that. The Jazz were, like, you know, talk about years where they've definitely needed to tank or definitely needed to not be just mediocre, but they've gone and put together mediocre seasons. It helps their win percentage, as you talked about, but it's in the NBA. It's not beneficial for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, Jazz fans can say, okay, at least we went out there and did our, but we didn't give up. And these last 2 years, just feel like, oh, the Jazz have actually given up. The Jazz have actually, you know, done the thing that you're not supposed to do. Go out there and not try your best. And I'm not trying to say that the Jazz effort out there, but, you know, like, when you're demoralized as this Jazz team, like, again, like, there's, like, okay, we don't need to actually win games. Like, we don't need to, you know, play 100% because the wins and losses just don't matter to us anymore. As a fan, I felt that for a while. Like, these wins and losses just don't matter. And okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and Jazz fans, I think, are having a hard time reconciling that because they're like, oh, I spent my whole Jazz fandom going, at least the Jazz are putting their best foot forward. And is it good? It might cost Jazz loyalty in the next few years here. That being said.
Because, like, even if you look at the fandom, there's more people that are more involved with the individual players than the actual team itself.
Yep, yep.
Whether it's people sticking with former Jazz players.
Go Timberwolves.
Or even people that are like, oh, why isn't Lauri Markkanen playing? I have some people that sit around me at Jazz games, and they're like, why isn't Clarkson playing? Or, like, because they're just not paying attention. But this team hasn't given them anything to pay attention to.
Yep.
So it's rough. It's something I'm personally having to get used to because, I mean, I was raised a Jazz fan, and I was definitely spoiled. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, this is how sports work.
You know, yeah, you know,
teams cannot always be good all the time, even though it may seem like it at times.
And you know, the NBA encourages this.
I feel like to me the problem is like, what was the direction that the Jazz were trying to go at the beginning of the year? Like, what was the point? And then like, it feels like, I don't know. It just feels. It feels all scattershot. It feels directionless. It feels.
I see that, but I also like. I look back at it. I go. I think the Jazz were just. The Jazz did what they. I don't think the Jazz changed direction at all.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even go back to Tony Jones. He said that this team was determined to win, and at the trade deadline, they were focusing on what they could get.
Yeah.
And once they couldn't get what they wanted, they went ahead and switched from a buying team to a selling team. And then that ultimately just put the nail in the coffin on which direction they were going. Yeah. They were fine with coasting like that, just because where they were sitting at, they were sitting at that like 11 spot in the West, and they could fight their way into the play-in.
And that's why I said, like, that's why I was so mad about last year. Cause last year it felt like, okay, we really definitely need a tank. You definitely want to try to get one of these higher top tier guys. Cause at the top of that draft was super strong. Look at Brandon Miller right now. Right. And, you know, fortunately for the Jazz, like, Will Hardy was a little better than they thought he was going to be. Lauri Markkanen turned out to be better than they thought he was going to be. The team chemistry turned out to be a little better than they thought it to be.
And Kessler probably was a lot better than they wanted him to be.
And you know, I was mad that they couldn't make these trades earlier to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably unrealistic of me as a fan. But, you know, that was mad about. This year, it was more like, okay, you know, we saw what they had last year. Let's see it again. You know, we got to see a second all-star caliber like year from Lauri Markkanen. I think that's important. Yeah, cool. We got that. That's good. That's good for his, you know, his own personal contract status. That's good for us as Jazz fans. Like, okay, you know, he's sort of not fool's gold. We got to see some of the other veterans that the Jazz have, and you know, they were able to flip guys because of it, and you know, get rid of guys like cut ties with Ochai.
I mean, it is pretty impressive that Lauri, even without a Mike Conley, he was having a year that was almost as good as last year. So that is
so.
And the team went ahead and showed too that like they need a guy like Lauri Markkanen, if not better, to go ahead and even be competitive.
Right.
Because even in those stretches where Markkanen was gone,
yeah.
Very first game he came back, what I think they only lost by like 3.
Yeah. So. I'm not so mad about like, oh, they should have been tanking all year. Because number one, if there was a Victor Wembanyama at the top of this draft again, yeah, they should have been tanking all year.
Yes.
I'm just confused what the plan is, like the long term plan. I feel like I don't know.
I mean my idea my idea of the long term plan for the Jazz is still gather assets. They're still just gathering assets.
My answer is look at, I think it's the 2003 Celtics. Just look at that and you will see the blueprint.
Like,
that's all you will need.
Just go and try it. Because like, they have to get number one. You know, I've said this before, like I don't think the Jazz have number one on their team. They have Colin Sexton, who's pretty good. Don't think he's number one. Lauri, I thought he might break through, but I just don't think he's got a number one in him. Keontae George has shown flashes, but also, you know, has shown such a small or a huge floor, excuse me, to go with the ceiling that I'm like, I just don't think he'll be number one. Hendricks, you know, just, you know, he's not there. I'll give that another year, but it seems unlikely that he's going to become a complete package, you know, a la Giannis. And so, the Jazz don't have a number one yet. So until then, like, just tread water, you know. You can have, like, even if the Jazz made the plan this year, I would say the same thing about all the players. You know, play-in, playoffs, just doesn't matter. At least they get a little bit higher draft pick this time around. Their goal, to me, is to go get number one, to go gather more assets to get that number one. That's just my thought on it. So their plan doesn't need to be, like, super clear. I think there's – I don't know. I think there is a little bit of a clear plan. Like, they're still looking to get they're not – my biggest fear was that they're going to say, okay, what they did last year, they could probably go find – you know, they probably could have sold a lot to get Deontay Murray.
I guess I just I used up all my patience on the last rebuild, so –
Sure. Oh, but so here's the thing.
Back around pretty quick.
If they could have bought, I guess, the guys, like some of the guys that we heard was Deontay Murray. I can't remember who else was there now 2 months ago, but the guys that they could have bought, that could have made them a playoff team, and they could have then tried that and say, hey, you know, we're going to try to make it with Lowry, go get him some other pieces, and then I would be afraid that they'd be the Hawks, maybe the Pelicans. Teams that are just there, but you know, do we think those two teams are first round, second round, getting past those rounds?
No, in fact, there was some discussion on. I was listening to the Low Post earlier today, and there was some discussion on it sounding like Trae Young is probably going to get traded or something. I was like, holy crap!
So that's the thing, that like you can make those pushes with players that are not number ones, right? Trae Young was someone that they thought that a lot of people thought could be number one on a team. There was a probably 2 year gap where like he looked like he could break through, and he didn't. The problem is that if you then all of a sudden you're the Hawks and you trade everything to get Deontay Murray to go with him, you put a lot of money into players that you think complement him with Capella, and you have all, and they just can't break through. You know, they went and got Quinn Snyder. I think they paid the Jazz some money to get out of. Did they pay the Jazz to get out of to get Quinn Snyder's contract? So they did things that are like, okay, we're building around Trae Young, and that team is not going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. So there's a danger that you can do that. So I'm more happy that Jazz didn't do that. You know, say hey, we had Larry Markkanen. Whoa, geez, bless you. Yeah, scared me. I peed a little. you know, like the Jazz could try to build up around Larry Markkanen. I think that'd be a mistake. So,
I also just want this to be known that it has been put out there that everything is on the table for this draft.
Yeah. So,
whether that means the Jazz use their draft picks,
trade their draft picks, buy some more draft picks, sell some draft picks.
Hence, Trae Young, rumored to be traded. I just want to put that out there. and when it happens, I just want everyone to know that your boy called it.
Vontae Mack could go number one in this draft. Mack, no matter what. So,
Vontae Mack.
But and look, if you're a Jazz fan, if you're feeling apathetic, if you feel like you can't with this Jazz team anymore, I think that's okay. If you feel like you can't do it next year, if the Jazz are going to be bad again, you don't want to watch them, you don't want to go to the games, you don't want to follow them.
I like going to games. The problem is I haven't been able to go to games for a while.
But again, this is what I'm going to say. You're going to the game, but you're not really going to the game to watch the win. You're going to games for a lot of other things. The people that are going to games now are not there for the wins and losses anymore.
I watch the game. I cheer.
I get that, but
and like, that's fine. But yeah, at the same time, like, what is your expectation? Yeah. Do you think like, oh, the Jazz are gonna pull this one out, or it's like, oh, they lost by 20, but at least Hendricks hit three threes today?
Or would it even bother you if you went to a game and they lost? You know, like, all right, you know, like,
yeah, because a lot of people after games, like, they're not bummed about it.
Right.
Like, a decent amount of people leave once it's like, okay, they're not coming back. But a lot of people stick around after the games and they'll take this pictures. And security doesn't try and force them out as quickly as they did earlier in
this
the season.
This like, is the NIT. You know, people are, you know, Utah Utah fans were like, oh, we'd rather win the NIT than losing the first round of the NCAA tournament. Except that the Utah Utes lost in the semifinal.
They didn't win the NIT.
They lose in the semifinal of the NIT, and guess what? I don't think their day was ruined at all. I don't think they were not really, you don't really get invested into the, in the NIT or any of these other non-big tournaments. They're making another one now.
Exactly.
Until you get to the last game.
Yeah, I'm all in on Larry Blurred.
Yeah. And you and here's the thing. You win the NIT, it's really cool for one day, and then that high fades very quickly because you know it's not a real championship.
Yeah, that's because it's not a national championship.
Yeah, so it's not a real championship.
As long as Steph Blurry is holding that trophy, like, I'll
so,
be good.
So many nicknames.
Wait, who?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, Milk Chamberlain.
Milk Chamberlain. So what I want to say to these Jazz fans who...
did you say Steph McFlurry?
Yeah. No, I said Steph Blurry.
Steph Blurry. So next year, or even this year, Jazz fans that you find yourself apathetic, that you don't care about the wins or losses, that it just doesn't affect you like it did 4 years ago when the Jazz were the number one team in the NBA.
It's okay, guys.
I think it's okay. If
I don't even fault you for it either.
Yeah. If that makes you a quote fair weather fan, so be it. Come back. Come back when the Jazz are good in a few years. Come back in 2027 when the Jazz have drafted somebody really good.
And I will update you on everything.
Or keep listening to us and we'll tell you if they're good enough.
It's okay. Don't let anybody judge you for because guess what? Jared talked about this earlier. As you get older, as you add more things to your personality, as you add things more to your life, you start to realize that your sports team winning just doesn't mean that much to you anymore. Okay, so if you're apathetic about the Jazz right now, and you want to take a break, like if watching the games at home to you does not give you pleasure, go do something else that does. You know. Go to the movies, you know, go outside, play with your kids, you know, go read a book, do something else.
Touch grass.
Read a book. Read a book.
I started a new audiobook today just because I was like it's time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like it's before fantasy football season. I can listen to audiobooks. Like there's lots of other things that I'd rather do than watch a Jazz game.
I just finished Grant by Ron Chernow, the same guy that wrote the book, what is it called? Hamilton, based on
Lin-Manuel. Oh no, okay, see. So I'll tell you right now.
No, it's the book that Lin-Manuel Miranda
based Hamilton on. Yes, yeah. Yes. I'll tell you right now that
same author.
In a few years, when the Jazz are again looking like championship contenders, I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be watching way more games then. And if that makes me fair weather, cool. That's fine. That's okay. Ryan Smith actually doesn't care either. Like, he's going to figure a way to make money. He'll be fine.
Which we'll see this offseason.
Yeah. Like, yes. So those guys will be fine. The Jazz will be fine. It's okay that – and look, if you're diehard, if you're Alma and you're going to go to every game and for the next few years with your season tickets – He's okay, you know. If he calls you a fair weather fan, so be it. That's fine. Guess what? If the Jazz ever won a championship, that high that you get being a fair weather fan will be almost as good as someone who's a diehard fan that has stayed with the Jazz through thick and through thin. Okay.
We will cry together.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a Cubs baseball fan. Like, I don't watch a lot of baseball. I'm a Cubs fan. Guess what? When the Cubs won that World Championship, I was high for a few days. So. And that's someone who lives in Utah who doesn't get to watch Cubs live at the stadium or even watch them on TV that much until it was the World Series. So guess what?
Who was on drugs?
Guess what? It was a real good feeling. So being a fair weather fan is not that much worse than being a diehard fan. And if you can't be a diehard fan through the bad times, that's okay. So. That's my public service announcement for everybody. Jared, do you have anybody? We were going to be bought out by Locked On Jazz. But once they found out that Marnay, Logan's mom, was no longer listening, they pulled out of the sale. So we still get to control Marnay's produce corner. Jared, do you have anybody want to put in the produce corner?
Uh, like, uh, I gotta admit, I haven't really been on Twitter that much lately.
That's fine. You're driving the bus a lot more now. That takes precedence over over being on Twitter. Okay, so I got some new followers. Dawes Takes Note. We got a lot of Takes Note names out there. So what's up, Dawson? Dawes Takes Note. Barefoot MGM. I don't know. What do you think that means?
Barefoot.
So they're not wearing shoes.
Barefoot.
Is it like a Sasquatch page or something?
Ivan Lucero. Ivan underscore J underscore Lucero. He's been around, so he followed, so it was nice. MJ Flinders, Jacob Flinders, a follow. So some new followers. Thank you for following after little joke that we had for April Fool's. So welcome to Hitting the High Notes. I'm sorry that we're not better. Alma Bean 23, the man of 10 million hits, the man who tweeted out a video of a Utah Jazz fan getting screwed out of a car, but then not getting screwed out of a car. Ken Garf's number one enemy posted a video. Has 12 million hits. If he was a Twitter Blue subscriber, he would have made $3. So that would have paid for a third of his Twitter Blue for a month. So
$3? Really?
I don't know. You know that the monetization never makes big money unless you do it consistently.
Unless you do, because that's the thing. That you have to do it consistently. So I don't think they pay you for one video. I think you have to be paid for multiple video, multiple tweets that are 100,000 impressions.
And you have to be, to have that Twitter Blue premium in order to be monetized.
To be monetized,
well.
So Elon trying to get, So anyway, tell us the story about what happened at the Cavs game.
So what's funny is that it was a full day thing. So I was prepping to go to the game beforehand, and I want to give a quick shout out to a friend of the pod, Art Takes Note. He went ahead and...
Art Take Note. What does he do?
He does everything that we do, but better.
I wonder where I can listen to Art Take Notes and his thoughts.
I wonder where you could go ahead and find those things.
On any podcatcher that's available, look up Jackpotting Around.
But he went ahead and entered me into a Ryan Smith ticket giveaway. Which I thought was really cool because, I'm not asking for these sort of things. I have my season ticket, so I'll be at the game either way. But he went ahead and said that, if anybody's deserving, it's me. And, that caught me off guard because, I know I've met some wonderful people since I moved out here and joined Jazz Twitter. But, I've never, heard it from many people. Yeah. But then just the love that was coming from it, the people that were liking it, sharing it, and even saying, I second this. He bleeds the colors, even the highlighter yellow, even though he doesn't want to.
He highlights the highlighters.
But I didn't win, which that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I think I saw that, and then Ryan Smith saw that you were part of Hitting the High Notes, and he was like, fuck that. That guy is put him in actually worse seats than he has right now.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the game, watch it, and again, two people went ahead and won the tickets, were able to go ahead and get their kids courtside seats. Absolutely love it for them. So now I'm watching the game, doing my live tweeting like I do every single Jazz home game. And every contest, I always record the last little bit because no one's going to watch an entire minute and a half long video of a fan airballing threes. It's just not good. It's not good. So, which a lot of people question me on. They're like, post the whole video. I'm like, that's all I have. But I went ahead and posted the video, and whether they make it or not, I still record every single contest that happens where there is a timer involved. I record it, but I only post it if I think it's worthwhile to put it on socials. So with this one, I was like, oh, shoot, he went ahead and made it at the buzzer. That is some good shit. And I got to get his whole celebration. He's freaking out with his buddy.
Mike
Goodkind comes up. He's like, hey, hey.
Hey, good try, man.
So we spoke with the judges.
What judges?
And you didn't win the car, but we're going to give you $600.
Yeah, you still basically, Ken Garf is here, and he said you didn't make it.
But again, I posted the video because I personally was like, how did they not give this man the car? In my video, I only show him shooting on the court, and the audio in the video shows that the ball was already shot out of his hand before the buzzer went off. So I don't know if I had any influence on it. I tried to tell myself I don't because I don't want to boost my ego. But I had multiple people that started tagging people like Andy Larson, Ryan Miller, Tony Jones, Sarah Todd. And they were like,
get Ben this Anderson guy of car. KSL Sports.
Funny enough, he was the one person that wasn't tagged. But the next thing you know, next timeout break, they bring him back out. And I noticed him in the bottom corner, which is like just barely in my view. So I was like, oh. They brought him back out. Let me record it. Again, two separate videos. So I then record him, and I'm like, they righted a wrong. Good for them. They gave him the car. They gave him the 2024 Hyundai Kona. Good on them. But
they gave him a two-year lease on the Hyundai Kona.
A two-year lease on the 2024 Hyundai Kona.
It's the lease, guys.
That's all Ken Garf could do. My phone just started blowing up because everyone only saw the first video.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like, that's cool. Like, people are seeing my page, but people are talking bad on the organization. Yep. They're referencing Jackie Moon from Semi-Pro, which I'm getting a good laugh out of it. He's like, I absolutely love this stuff.
He wanted a check for that says $10,000.
So I am all about having that sort of traction going on. Dukes. I'm just like, that's fun. That is all in fun. But then people were taking it so serious. They're like, oh, I would have been throwing hands. They would have to drag me off the court. Fuck those guys. Like, a lot of people were quote tweeting this.
Oh, my God.
And it was so bad. And mind you, when I went to bed, it was probably like midnight-ish. I probably had about 250,000 views before I went to bed, which at that point was the most views I've had on a tweet since the whole Stanley.
Right.
Whatever. I'm so glad I don't have to think about that anymore. But then I woke up this morning and I had 5 million views. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Million. Whoa, that's a first.
Dude, it made it to TikTok. There were people posting on TikTok.
There were people posting on TikTok, on Reddit. But then
RIP TikTok.
But then I went ahead and had a DM from ESPN.
ESPN.
And I was like, I had to like double check. I clicked on their page and I was like, oh shit, this is like the real ESPN. And they were just like, hey, did you record this? Do you own this footage? If so, we would like to give you credit and put it on all of our platforms. I was like, absolutely. Go ahead. Like, just give me the credit for it.
Boo. Should have got a job out of it.
That's what my grandpa said. He said I should have tried to get a job in the process.
Yep.
But as the day's gone on, I mean, I'm still getting people, like, to this very moment that are still quote tweeting me, liking it. And
Ken Garf is pissed off at Alma right now. They want to take his knees.
Andy Larson went ahead and did an in-depth analysis on it.
Oh, yeah. Andy Larson posted the in-arena feed that shows that the timer went up.
Yep. And Andy Larson did say,
I didn't sync the timer and the horn. That's ridiculous.
And Andy Larson did say that the horn is always the final. Yeah. So ultimately, it does go.
So they should have given him the car anyways.
That's my thing. Like, here, if you're running a timeout game, let me rephrase. If you're running this particular timeout game, which you've already given away four leases.
So including this person, it is now four leases.
Like, they've already given away a bunch of leases. This game has been ridiculously easy for people to
I mean, accomplish. Shoot, they even cut it down 15 seconds. Yeah. It used to be 45 seconds when they started
this. And they've given people, I was like, this is a lot of time for people to get this car. So they've given away these cars pretty haphazardly. Like, if they're losing money on it, they've already committed to losing money on it. Whoever thought of this promotion, really bad on Ken Garf's part. If someone is within a second, it's like mailing in an application a day late. Like, it's a day late. Like, I mean, we don't need to have a hard expiration date. Like, it has to be, like, you didn't sign a contract saying if it's not let go by 29.9 seconds, you lose, you know? Like, it's supposed to be a fun thing that you're getting. You are, obviously, this actually worked out really well for Ken Garf. Because if you asked me this before, who sponsored this contest, I could not tell you.
Ken Garf threes for keys.
Yeah, I would have told you Stockton Malone Honda. But Yeah, so like, so they're getting some good promotion out of this. I just like, it's like they, I, like, the fact that they're like, oh, sorry, dude, you let it go a second late. Like what judges, Mike? My good guy, Lizzie.
But like, what's getting me with this whole thing is that now people are attacking me personally for this. They're just like, oh, you're farming for views.
Oh, yeah.
You need to remove this video. Yeah. You're spreading lies. Hell? And I'm like, if you go to my page, I post videos in chronological order because I am live tweeting the game. I'm not sitting here trying to tell something that didn't happen because that is the story of the game. If you watch it, what happened against Cleveland, you're not watching a lot of good basketball. So we're going to go ahead and watch what happened during the timeout breaks. And that is ultimately now the story of the game. The Jazz went ahead and have now lost 10 straight games, which is now their second longest losing streak in franchise history.
Let's go.
And then you go ahead and have this Ken Garf threes for keys. Yep. That's what people are going to go ahead and talk about. Yeah, so
that's a big story.
So if I go ahead and delete that video, I'm deleting a part of the story. And then like, I'm not sitting here trying to get these views. I just want to put that out there. Like, yes, I want people to see my content, but I am not fishing for anything.
Yes. Yeah, he's deep sea fishing for views right now. So,
but it's cool. But it's cool.
It's cool.
Like it's 12 million for for a guy that went ahead and had before this whole thing went off. I had maybe what 450 followers max.
Now you can.
And now I'm sitting at like almost 1,000.
Now you can run spaces.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a million followers. Just
if that was going on, we're getting some money.
He would be Twitter blue. Yeah, he'd be locking guys in grocery stores.
I'd be able to afford the $11 a month.
Yeah. Alma would be then like locking guys in grocery store for see how long they can live in a grocery store or trying to trade up to buy a car.
I would get my own show on the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
Alma Beast.
Alma Beast. Okay, so Jared got that. You know, Jared, good job. Way to get that reference. Yes, that's fun. And I'm glad that the guy got the lease on the car or the cash, whatever the cash equivalent was, whatever he took. Like, cool, good for them. You know, car to the car, guys. So,
like, I'm just glad that they went ahead and brought him back out.
Yeah.
Like, to go ahead and, like, announce to the crowd. Right. Like, I don't know if it was them trying to save face or what.
Yeah.
But, like, again, like,
it's just one of those things, like, in the moment, like, I wasn't even there, but I'm like, guys, like half the crowd probably started booing heavily.
Yes, they booed into the gameplay.
Right.
Like, after that timeout.
If
break.
You can see, if you can see the ball go through the hoop, guys, like again, if it's like, oh, you shot this, even if it was like on the fingertips, nobody cares about that. It's not a real game. It's a game for someone to win a car. Like, we don't need
like
to
this
be
is a feel good thing,
right? Like, exactly.
Don't ruin the good thing. And I understand that it's a car that has value, and like somebody is out a vehicle of a significant dollar amount,
right?
But like give the fans a cheer about something.
12 million views for Ken Garf. That's all I got.
There you go, Ken Garf. I hope you enjoyed the three cars you sold from the 12 million views I got.
You know what the worst part of that whole thing is, though, is that they're giving away a lease. The guy still has to pay for insurance and all that shit.
Hey.
Like,
hey. They got him the car.
They got it. Look. If you win a car on Price is Right, same thing. It's not a lease, but you got to pay taxes. You got to pay insurance. Like, you got to pay all that stuff. So,
but again, like, I would much rather pay the taxes and insurance than paying for a car payment, having the interest rates, and still having all those other things to pay for. Like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's gonna blow up anyways.
Would you rather play that game, or the Coke Tastes the Difference game?
Oh, I would shoot threes all day. Shit, with how bad I did in that Coke tasting one, I do not want to embarrass myself again.
Last game I was at. Oh, go ahead.
Wait. You did the Coke tasting one?
Yep, I did it around Christmas, and I went 1 for 5. But they still gave me the prize.
The last guy who did Coke Tastes the Difference was the Steph Curry of Coke tasting. He just nailed every one of them. I was like, God damn, this guy is so good.
Well, I mean, not to burst anybody's bubble, they do show you a picture before you go out there, but they were rushed when I did it.
Yeah, but they do it for everybody. This is still the best person. I was like, damn, this guy.
Yeah, because they're just like, try and take up some time.
Because like that's the thing is that with these games,
like they want you to win.
They want you to win. I saw a guy fail the spinning quarters game. Only person I hear they give you the answer. So he failed on purpose or forgot or whatever. And they're like, you know what? We weren't going to give it to you anyway.
So. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they want you to win.
Right.
Because, I mean, for me, like, I went 1 for 5. It was the only soda I have had before that I could recognize. So they were just like, oh, we're in the season of giving, so yeah. We're going to give your whole row brand new Beats headphones. We're also going to go ahead and give you this jacket that we had you wear. And here's a 3-foot-tall Coca-Cola polar bear.
Yeah.
Have fun.
As you carry that around with you.
Yeah, now it's just sitting in the corner of my apartment collecting dust. Because, like, what else am I going to fucking do with it?
Right, so... if you want more timeout games content, follow him on the Twitterverse at AlmaBean23. He's a big Larry Markkinen fan and Michael Jordan fan. He thinks Michael Jordan did not push off. AlmaBean23. Follow him on the Twitterverse. He's driving the bus a lot more. We gotta change our days to record now. It's at Jared Bark. He barks in buses. Go distance 49. I'm a Jared Barker. I'm at Who Trans Superman? That's HUUTRN Superman, or at Jazz High Notes number 2. And we're back, and I'm glad that you guys, nobody missed us. So, never mind.
if you know we exist, yeah. Yes.
But we're back, so. And we'll see you guys next time.